Thank you, Marlene. Great is the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful song. Thank you very much. Kindly take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn to Mark chapter 12. And while you're turning, let me share with you a few thoughts as we prepare to look into God's Word together. My theme tonight from this passage of Scripture is, a widow teaches us several important spiritual truths. A widow teaches us several important spiritual truths. You know, so many times the value of a person's life is estimated by who they are, their pedigree, what they have done, their accomplishments, who they know, their circle of influence, how much they have in their bank account, their resources. All of these things many people look at when they evaluate the life of someone else. But please understand this. That is not the way God evaluates us. That is not the way that He looks at us. Absolutely not. You see, God has a different way of looking at you and me. He looks at us through the eyes of love. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Now, God knows who we are. He knows that we're sinners. Our Bibles tell us in Romans 3:23 that for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is what? Death. But God knows who we are. And yet we are looked upon by Him as those who can be redeemed. People such as the woman at the well who had been married five times and was living in sin with the sixth. With a woman who was possessed of seven demons, Mary Magdalene. And then the man in Mark 5 who was called Legion because he had a host of demons living inside of him. And then there were the despicable tax collectors. I think of Matthew and Zacchaeus, men who cheated their own people just to earn a buck. And then there were countless prostitutes and what the regular people called lowlifes from all walks of life. Even Samaritans, a group of people that were of mixed race. The Jews called them dogs. Jesus said that these are redeemable people. And last of all, I have someone else down here. God graciously redeemed a sinner such as me. I'm so thankful that God is in the redemption business. Aren't you glad? Almighty God considers each of these dear people that I've mentioned and us of extreme value. There is nobody here that doesn't have value to Him. Well, you might say, how valuable am I to God? Dear friend, John 3:16, valuable. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, next time you say John 3:16, would you do it this way? For God so loved, put your name in there. God so loved Joyce. God so loved Bill. God so loved Nona. God so loved Robert. Put your name in there. That He gave His only begotten Son, that put your name in there. If we would only believe in Him as our Savior, we too will be redeemed. You know, there's a host of people who do not know that they are redeemable. They think because of their sin that God has washed His hands of them, but He hasn't. You know, people say, well, what about my sins? What about my scars, my failures, my shortcomings, my inabilities, my lack of resources? Doesn't this diminish God's view of me? Absolutely not. How do we know that? Well, tonight we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, just a few verses. We're going to look at a woman who was thought to be absolutely worthless to the regular populace. And as we read, you'll understand who this woman is and exactly what Jesus thought of her. Would you look with me then, verse 41 of Mark chapter 12. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in how much? Large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her what? Poverty put in everything, all that she had to live on." Last week we looked at verses 38 through 40. And we saw some pretty sad information about the religious leaders, scribes as they were called, Pharisees who had a special place of leading the people of Israel. Look at verse 38 with me, please. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets." Now notice this, please. "They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Did you catch what the Lord Jesus said about the scribes and the widows? He said, "These men devour widows' houses." I looked up the word devour. It literally means to eat down, to eat down. It speaks of somebody who has a voracious appetite, an appetite that cannot be quenched. We say, well, how on earth can this word be associated with what is taking place with these widows? Well, there is a very clear reason. You see, many of these scribes served as estate planners for widows. Whoa. Gave them an opportunity to go into the homes of these dear women, distraught as they were with the death of their husbands, and tell them, "You need to take what your husband has left you and give it to the temple. Or if you don't give it to the temple, you need to give it to the work that I am doing." In either case, the scribes benefited monetarily, and as such, they effectively robbed these dear women of their husband's legacy. They devoured widows' houses. How absolutely sad. And now as we come to verses 41 through 44, we see one of these distraught widows as she comes into the temple courtyard to give her offering to God. Now, we don't know her name. We don't know anything about her background. We don't even know who she knew or if she came to the temple that day, if she knew anyone else. God's word doesn't tell us. But this we do know about her because she is a widow. She was overlooked by society. In fact, most widows were disdained. And they were disdained because many of these ladies had been reduced to begging. And in actuality, that word poor that Jesus uses of this dear widow literally means a beggar. She had been reduced to begging. We believe she probably had no sons, because certainly if she had sons, they would be taking care of her, and she wouldn't be in this difficult financial situation. Here she is, shabbily dressed, not known, a beggar, with no family, and she's coming to the house of God. Well, is there anything else that we know about this dear woman? I said my title is Lessons That We Can Learn From This Widow. This we know about her, and it is absolutely awesome. You see, this dear woman was totally devoted to God. She was totally devoted to God. Now, I need to qualify some things as I say that so you kind of get the understanding that as this dear woman comes into this glorious temple that is still under construction, I need you to understand what is taking place. In verse 35, the Lord Jesus has been in the temple complex, or the court of the Gentiles. We find this in verse 35. But now in verse 41, he is in the court of the women. And this is for a particular reason. You see, it was so named because that was as close as the women could come into the sanctuary where worship took place within the temple. You see, it was in the court of the women that the treasury was located, the place where the freewill offerings of the people were gathered and given to God. This temple treasury was composed of 13 trumpet-sized chests. The worshipers deposited their money. Can you imagine these 13 metal receptacles shaped as they were like an instrument? And as they went down to the bottom, there were big depositories where the money would go. Well, we are told that they were shaped in such a way that as the money was put inside, that it made quite an uproar. So these rich people who came and put in all of their coins, all of the money that they had, it made a huge clatter. Oh, Brother John, Brother Joe, look at all the money they put in today. Hear the sound at what they are doing. But then what about this little widow? The Lord Jesus said that she put in two little small copper coins. You can imagine as this poor little lady comes up to the receptacles that she puts in her two little coins and people say, "What was that? Did somebody put money in there? I thought I heard something, but I wasn't sure." No, I don't think anything went in there. Nobody really understood what this dear lady gave, except who? Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus knew the heart of this dear woman. Now, verse 41 tells us that many rich people came and placed their money into the treasury. In fact, a host of people came with their offerings. But as we looked last week, we realized that for many of these religious leaders, it was merely a habit. Their hearts were not in what they were doing. And they gave of their offerings not so much to worship the Lord, but to do a show of what they were doing before others. They had a habit of doing, but where was their love of God? In Matthew 6:1, the Lord Jesus also said this about these religious leaders. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." And so into this court of women, places full with people, comes this dear little woman, a widow, a beggar. Now, God's word doesn't tell us many things about what was going on in her mind. So I don't know, but putting two and two together with what they thought of widows, especially those who begged, and what they thought of people like under her from various walks of life, this is what I think might have taken place. Again, this isn't chapter and verse. These are my thoughts, but I believe I'm pretty close. I wonder if as she came, thoughts like this came into her mind. You know, I'm very shabbily dressed. I'm dirty. I don't look very good. I don't smell very good. Perhaps I should stay away from giving my gift to God. People might make fun of me as I come into this place. And you know, my gift is small. What good will it do? When I put it into the trumpets and it goes all the way down to the bottom and they don't hear a sound, will they think less of me because they can't hear what I'm giving? Will they think that I really don't love God very much? You know, now that I think about it, maybe I shouldn't give anything at all. Well, praise God, she didn't refrain from giving on that day. Why? Because the Lord had entrusted her with something which she could give to him. So she didn't withhold it. You know, many people think, well, my gift is so small. Certainly God can't use it. Don't ever think that. Whatever God entrusts into our hands, He wants us to give. Her giving was not to be a statement to others. It was not to be a statement to the rich people. It was not to be a statement to those who were sitting there who didn't give a thing. Her giving was a declaration of her love for God. She loved God dearly. So it didn't matter what other people thought. As she gave her gift, she desired to see God's work furthered, even if she didn't agree with these scribes and other religious leaders. She knew what they were all about. She wasn't dumb. But she gave her gift to the Lord. See, her giving was between herself and God. Well, what did the Lord Jesus say of this dear woman? Look once again at verse 43 and 44. Calling the disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on. Do we see it? That day, as she came into the temple, into the court of women, where the treasury was located, and she took her two small little copper coins that weren't even worth a penny, and she went up to those receptacles, and she put everything she had inside one of those trumpets, knowing that she had absolutely no money to buy food for her next meal. Wow. You talk about learning a lesson from a dear lady. I don't know about you, but there are many lessons which I can learn from her. And let me share five with you quickly tonight. Number one, her gift giving was between her and her Lord. Oftentimes I've heard people say, well, you know, I know that there are people at church that give a great deal, and I just do not have that opportunity to give, and I feel rather reluctant. Dear friend, don't even go there. Your giving and my giving is between us and the Lord our God. She was not concerned what others thought of the size of her gift. She was giving to the Lord. That was part of her worship of Him. And dear people, isn't that what giving is all about? Worshiping the Lord? Giving to Him whatever He has entrusted to us because we love Him and we want to worship Him with what He places in our hands. Secondly, being a righteous woman. And she had to have been a righteous woman, otherwise the Lord would have never honored her. She had to know what these scribes were doing. A lot of people knew what these scribes were doing. Perhaps she could have said, I'm not going to give this money because I know what they'll do with it. She trusted the Lord that as she gave her gift, that God would make sure that it was channeled to the right place. And whether it didn't go exactly where she wanted, she gave it out of worship to honor Him. Thirdly, she didn't have much, and all she had was what she put in the trumpet. She couldn't even buy anything to eat thereafter, but she didn't give it grudgingly. As I thought of that, I remembered the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:7. He said, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We know that that word cheerful means hilarious. Now, I've never seen an offering taken in our church where people absolutely laugh as the offering plate is passed by. Have you seen that? I've never seen that. But God says when we give to Him, it's to be with such a joyful heart. Ha! Hallelujah! I get to give this to God. Whoa! I've not seen that. Do we realize that God loves a heart that is enthusiastically thrilled with the pleasure of giving to Him? First and foremost, this is what our gift-giving is all about. It is out of love for our Lord. Fourthly, this dear lady also realized that God in His great mercy was looking out for her. If she did not know that, there's no way that she could have placed those two small copper coins into the receptacle, realizing that there went her dinner down into the bottom with the rest of the coins. She had to know that as she gave her gift to the Lord, that He had been looking out for her, and He would not now neglect her. He would take care of her. What a wonderful God. He had faithfully ministered to her need, and He would continue to do so. This also reminds me of what Paul said in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Now in verse 12, Paul mentioned a secret. He says, I have learned the secret. What's the secret? Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. But then last, this poor widow lady, this dear beggar, teaches me a lesson which I need to learn every day of my life. It's something that every child of God needs to learn every day of their lives. It's something that the believers in Macedonia were learning, and Paul the Apostle mentions it to us. Would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8? And as we close tonight, I want us to read verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. What was this dear lady learning, or having learned, that I need to learn, and that others after her were learning during a time of great need? Well, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5 tells us. Paul says this, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. On Paul's third missionary journey, he is taking up a collection from other Gentile churches that could be taken back to the believers in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers who were being persecuted for their faith in Christ, who were doing without, who were under great difficulty. And so he's asking people to go to these churches. And lo and behold, the believers in Macedonia have outdone what even Paul thought could happen. And these believers remind us of this dear little poor begging widow. The similarities are unbelievable. First, both were experiencing severe trials and extreme poverty. Second, both gave beyond their ability. She gave her all. Third, both gave freely, not under compulsion. They considered it a privilege. Fourth, they ministered to the needs of others. And fifth, and this is the important thing which made all of the other things happen, before they gave themselves to Paul, before they gave of their finances to the believers in Jerusalem, they first gave themselves to the Lord Jesus. And that's what Christian discipleship is all about. Giving ourselves first to the Lord Jesus. So these men might have had the flowing robes. These men might have sat in the most honored places. These men might have been greeted, "Oh, Rabbi, Rabbi," as they went through the town and the cities. And this dear little poor begging widow shuffled along out of the limelight, people moving out of the way because they don't want her shadow to go across them lest they be afflicted. This dear little woman knew more about worship, knew more about giving, knew more about trusting God than all of these men and all of their accolades as the spiritual leaders. I have made the comment for years that I believe that when the body of Christ is before the judgment seat of Christ, that's for believers only, that those who are going to be the first in line are not the Billy Grahams, are not the pastors, are not any spiritual leaders per se. I think really who will be first in line are the dear little people like this dear, poor, begging widow who loved God with all of her heart, who gave everything she had to the Lord, trusting Him, who was a prayer warrior. We can talk about prayer. But many of these dear, elderly people know what it means to pray. They will be honored by our Lord. And so as I think of the lessons that I glean from this dear woman, she honored God by what she gave to Him. She gave to His work. She didn't look at what she didn't have. She looked at what God had entrusted to her, and in faith, she placed it in His hands. He contrasted her giving with the scribes who gave out of their abundance to bring glory to themselves. This dear woman gave out of her poverty in order to bring glory to God. The Lord Jesus honored this dear lady, this dear, poor, begging widow, because she understood what true giving was all about. See, giving of our goods, of our finances, of our time, of our abilities is about worship. I give to You, Lord God, because You are worthy. You are worthy of everything that I can place in Your hands. And when we give it that way, even if we don't sing very well, even if we don't preach very well, even if we don't have much to place in the offering, because it's given with a heart that honors God, God takes that gift and He uses it abundantly. This was made very clear to me when my dad, having been with Dr. Fuller in the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, went to the Haven of Rest radio ministry back in 1956. The Haven of Rest had a worldwide ministry. Almost all the countries of the world through Far East Broadcasting Company. Back in those days, their yearly budget was $1 million. Now, back in the 1950s and 60s, $1 million was a whole lot more than it is today. You know what the average gift was that came into the Haven's office that made their ministry possible? $5. $5 gifts came in abundance that made the $1 million possible to pay for airtime, to send out the Bibles, to send out the study materials, to send out all of those things that the people in China and Japan and Korea and Africa and everywhere else in the world needed to know about Jesus Christ. You say, wow, I remember as an 11-year-old or 12-year-old going into the room where all of these things were, the envelopes were open and the checks were put down, or back then you could put actual cash into the envelope, and letters were sent. And all of these people were doing this, and I thought, wow, all of these envelopes, must be all kinds of money inside those envelopes. No, son, average gift, $5. Those multiple $5 gifts made up a $1 million budget, whereby people heard of the love and grace and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. You see, this dear little poor begging widow teaches us what worship is all about. Secondly, what we can give out of love for the Lord. But primarily, before she gave anything, she gave herself to God. What an offering. I would imagine that day in the court of the women that there might have been other dear widows. We don't know anything about them, but we do know that there was one who represented them, the dear little widow who Jesus said, "Men, you need to pattern your life after this dear woman." Why? Because she honors me. Her life belongs to me. And I know that whatever I entrust with her will come back to me. And I can use it for my glory to minister to the needs of others. This dear little poor begging widow teaches us immense spiritual lessons. Wow. We need more like her. Us, all of God's family, giving ourselves first to the Lord and then entrusting whatever He places in our lives and hands to give back to Him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this dear lady. We will see her one day in Your glory. And what a joy that will be to see this dear lady. We have no idea the fruit that will be accruing to her account because of the 2 little copper coins that she placed in those receptacles. But we know that though nobody else may have realized what was done that day, Jesus did. And He is righteous to remember the gifts that we bring to Him out of love for Him. Father God, may I remember this week that before I give You anything, I need to give You myself. That's the gift of most importance. And if You have me, You will have all that You place in my hands. That will be true for all of us. We thank You, Father, and we praise You for the example of this dear lady. In Jesus' name, amen.